Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, powerful imagery of President Donald J. Trump on the ground in Saudi Arabia this morning. The coolest video I saw so far was, not just President Trump saluting the American flags as the national anthem was being played to celebrate the president's arrival. But the coolest video was the Beast. I know Dan Bongino's like, we never called it the Beast in the Secret Service. Well, that's all right, Dan. The rest of us call it the Beast. And the Trump War Room referred to it as the Beast this morning as well, as they shared the video. But you've got the presidential limousine surrounded by white horses, riders on horseback surrounding the presidential limo, the Beast, with both the American and the Saudi flags as President Trump's limo arrives. But, seeing this powerful imagery and listening to some of the news updates, this, of course, comes on the heels of this U.S.-China trade deal that brokered over the weekend in Switzerland. It's just such a powerful reminder of everything that Trump accomplished in his first term and the path to peace that our country was on, the path to peace that our world was on, all to be torn down and destroyed and ripped apart, well, by China and COVID-19 and the Democrats in America and what they did with COVID-19 and everything they did because they wanted to tear down Trump, and so they were willing to tear down historic peace deals in the process. You remember, this trip to Saudi Arabia is so reminiscent of President Trump's efforts to bring about the Abraham Accords and these historic peace agreements between, not just Saudi Arabia, but all of these Arab countries and our friends in Israel. But no. See, Joe, and remember, there was no war in Ukraine taking place between 2017 and the end of President Trump's term either. And they so desperately, and not just the Democrats, but the majority of the legacy media mob here in America, they so desperately wanted to tear down Donald Trump that they didn't care if they tore down America in the process. Now, some might say maybe that was their goal as well, because they want to tear this country down and rip it apart at the seams so they can build it up into something else and transform it, as they've promised, into something else. But yeah, we were on the path to peace, peace agreement after peace agreement after peace agreement between these Arab countries and Israel. And not only that, but then it's as if the whole world started to become aligned against the United States of America under the weakness and the fecklessness of Joe Biden and the John Tester regime. And they pushed Saudi away from us, and Iran was already, the terrorists in Tehran were already aligned against us. So they pushed the Saudis into the hands of the Chinese and the Russians, and, and Europe wasn't picking up their part of the tab until Donald Trump got them to fully support NATO. And it's just like, man, but maybe we had to go through those hard times of the Biden Tester regime so that America can bounce back even stronger than before. Maybe people needed to see the success of the first Trump administration and then to see the abject failure and misery of the Biden Tester regime so that America can finally bounce back for another 250 years.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-50s in Bozeman to the upper 60s in Billings, as we'll also see some scattered showers and a few thundershowers around the region. For tonight, looking at showers likely along with a few thunderstorms, overnight lows from 40 in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A recent House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing reviewed oversight of the Air Force and the Space Force as the budget process for fiscal year 2026 continues. Acting Air Force Secretary Gary Ashworth on why military financing is so important.
The scope and severity of the threats to our homeland and national interests are significant and increasing, and we now face one of the most dangerous security environments in our history.
Air Force Chief of Staff General David Alvin testified China is first and foremost among those threats.
The U.S. must maintain air power dominance if we are to safeguard our security, deter aggression, and prevail in conflict. This is not a future challenge. This is today's reality.
The Space Force's Chief of Space Operations, General Chan Saltzman, explained why space is the key future battleground.
In the future, defending the homeland will demand that we first defend the satellites that make that defense possible.
Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I've made the argument that unfortunately our country had to see and had to feel and had to go through what we went through of the misery of the Joe Biden, John Tester years. If we wanted to, but because you think about it, look, our country was seeing this slow decline, and I think many of us would argue a deliberate decline. While the Washington swamp just went on there nonstop, you know, partying with your money. And our country was in this slow decline. Now, President Trump and the success of his first term, you know, got us moving in the right direction. But still, long term, I think we were just facing this continued decline, and unless something big happened, and it's still, well, one election goes this way, the next election goes the next way, and everything, and that's why tragically, America had to go through, just like Montana, unfortunately, had to go through the Bullock regime. And to see what the Democrats in Montana would do with what they believed unchecked power. Now, of course, we checked their power, and we had county sheriffs across Montana put their power in check as well. We, the people, stood up, and we didn't put up with Bullock and his COVID lockdown, you know, mandate nonsense. And then eventually he got kicked to the curb in the Senate race in a big way, and eventually the Democrats got kicked out of the governor's mansion and more, but we had to go through that to get our state moving in the right direction once again. And unfortunately, it seems like our country had to go through the COVID stupidity of the Biden years, lockdowns and mandates and wasteful spending and the open borders invasion and the crime that ensued. And unfortunately, the wars that Joe Biden got the world into once again, in order to finally start turning in the right direction. But it's interesting, you know, you look at who had to suffer the consequences of the Biden-Bullock BS. Let's just break it down simply. The young people in America. I don't know if you guys have seen some of this. David Hogue? He's the left-wing gun control activist that basically took over the National Democrat Party. So he was on Bill Maher's program yesterday. I played a couple of Bill Maher sound bites. But this David Hogue was on Bill Maher's show. Let me share the clip so that you can just hear it. Instead of my recap, you can just hear it. So Laura Ingraham last night had her seen and unseen segment with Raymond Arroyo. And usually that's kind of the funny ha-ha moment of the show. But Raymond Arroyo made a great point. First, here's the comments that this David Hogue guy made on Bill Maher's show.
What I think happened last election is younger men, they would rather vote for somebody who, even if they don't completely agree with, they don't feel judged by, than somebody who they do agree with, that they feel like they have to walk on eggshells around constantly. Young people should be able to focus on what young people should be focused on, which is how to get laid and how to go and have fun.
Lovely. Laura, young men aged 18 to 29, they backed President Trump by 56%. I doubt they came because they were looking, you know, for recreational drugs and getting laid. That's not why they came to that party and that conclusion. Mm. If you talk to these young people, particularly the young men, they're looking for values they can hang their lives on, and they're looking for prosperity and families. They want to strengthen themselves. David Hogue is presiding over a party that this week is fighting over gender equality for the DNC leaders. That's precisely why young men are fleeing from your party.
Yeah, exactly right. Great comments there by Raymond Arroyo. And I saw that clip after I had also seen what Charlie Kirk had to say last night on this very topic. Charlie Kirk had some great remarks talking about Generation Z and church attendance. I might save that one for the 7 o'clock hour. He just had some great remarks. But first, let me slightly agree with this Hogue character here. Look, to his point, I think his overall point was wrong, was twisted, and as Charlie Kirk will point out later on in the 7 o'clock hour, the Democrats think that somehow the answer to everything is depravity, right? They think that's the answer to everything. But to David Hogue's point here, I remember there was a Montana State Bobcat game, and it was shortly after the "Let's go, Brandon," after the "Let's go, Brandon" chants had first kicked off. And they didn't do the "Let's go, Brandon." They did the actual you-know-what Joe Biden chant at the stadium in Bozeman. And it was a massive chant. And because think about it, these young people, they had proms, homecomings, graduations, all this stuff was canceled. And they were told to shut up and wear masks. And then they were told, hey, you got to pay a whole bunch of money to go to college, but you won't actually get to go to college. We're going to make you do these stupid remote classes. And then they had these left-wing political science professors giving them their stupid left-wing political diatribe in the classroom. And then they were out there, you know, posting nonsense on X, you know, propping up these jack wagons who shut down the country, who shut down the state, who shut down their schools. So these young people had to put up with more BS than almost anybody else. And so these young people now, I think because of all the garbage they went through and because of everything they saw, they're saying, wait a minute, this is garbage. And they're choosing to be free. And they know that in order to be free, you can't be enslaved by drugs and you can't be enslaved by all of these other things out there. But that's what David Hogue and the left, they want kids to be enslaved by all of this stuff. They want to promote a life of depravity. And so what Charlie Kirk is talking about is it's not just politics. It's not just elections. That Generation Z is flocking back to churches all across America as a result of all that. They want something more. They want something better. They want real life. They want real freedom and not the garbage society selling them.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will AI, artificial intelligence, affect economic growth? It already has. Billions are being spent on developing the tools, building the computing capacity, and then planning and building the infrastructure to support it. That money is coming from investors who see its potential to disrupt and ultimately dominate industries and activities across the economy. If that sounds like hype, that's because it is. But in some parts of the economy, it's also reality. Writing computer code, for example, has been improved enough by AI today that we can expect a much faster expansion of digitization across the economy starting right now. But for physical processes, progress is slower. Self-driving cars are a case in point. The idea of computer learning is basic to AI, and so fed tons of data on driving situations and driving outcomes, machines should be able to drive better than humans in short order. Yet that goal has been surprisingly difficult and expensive to achieve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. President Trump's budget package for Congress doesn't balance. It eliminates dollars for every federal department and agency, except for the Departments of Transportation and Veterans Affairs. Space programs and NASA are also safe. Quote, "This is how you break the swamp," declared the House Freedom Caucus. The president's plan knifes the Department of Housing and Urban Development by 40%. It also axes the Departments of Labor and Interior by 30%. However, dollars for the Pentagon are essentially flat. Defense hawks were apoplectic. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Roger Wicker of Mississippi torch Mr. Trump's outline. Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky chairs the Senate Defense Appropriations Panel, charged with funding the Pentagon. He called the request, quote, peculiar, considering how much time the president's team was spending on, quote, peace through strength. Vote fired back at congressional defense advocates and their allegations that the budget request undercut the military. Quote, it's an inaccurate charge. We provide $1 trillion in national defense spending, a 13% increase, said Vote on Fox. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, Montana has become the fourth state to pass legislation banning lab-grown meat after Governor Greg Gianforte signed HB 401 into law earlier this month. And yesterday, the governor told me that he's proud to support the ranching community.
There's nothing better than Montana beef. The world knows that. I don't know why anybody would want something out of a Petri dish. So I was proud to sign this bill into law. We don't need lab-grown meat here in the state of Montana.
Meanwhile, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has submitted comments to the Food and Drug Administration on the misleading labeling of plant-based protein products. NCBA Senior Director of Government Affairs Sigrid Johannes says that companies selling fake meat shouldn't be allowed to use misleading advertising or trade on beef's good name.
So our comments on this draft guidance for industry are largely aimed at two things. One, generally getting the FDA to toughen up their approach to plant-based products. Their current guidance is very permissible. It's very flexible. It leaves a lot of loopholes open for very misleading labeling on those plant-based products that are intended to imitate meat. And the other thing we did was give them a specific set of recommendations on changes they could make that would cut down on that, those practices. So things like preventing those plant-based products from using the word beef or using the image of a cow, things like that, that we think will go a long way to improving consumer clarity.
And at the end of the day, Governor Gianforte says that when it comes to the meat he loves, it comes from an animal and not a plant or laboratory.
You go to the store, you want to know when it says beef, it actually came from a cow, not from some science experiment that occurred in the lab. And there could be confusion about this.
Now, Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi have all enacted their own bans on lab-grown meat, and Nebraska is currently considering similar legislation. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle producers join the Montana Stock Growers Association for its mid-year meeting headed for Butte this year, May 28th through the 30th. Highlights include a summer weather outlook from climatologist Brian Bledsoe, an ag policy and update from D.C. with NCBA's Vice President Kim Brackett of Idaho, plus a market outlook from Cattle Facts. And don't forget about the Montana Stock Growers Foundation's Sunset Banquet. Join us in Butte, May 28th through the 30th. For more information and to register, visit mtbeef.org.
With AgWest Farm Credit, the health of your business drives the future of ours. We're an agricultural lending cooperative powered by you, our customer members, and we're focused on your success. Our patronage program puts earnings back in your pocket. You not only borrow at competitive interest rates, you earn a cash dividend to strengthen your business and your bottom line. At AgWest Farm Credit, you're an owner, and ownership pays. Learn more about AgWest patronage and eligibility at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, groups representing U.S. farmers have filed a brief encouraging the U.S. Supreme Court to hear a case on labeling for glyphosate and other pesticides. Now, the groups, which represent a broad swath of agriculture and cover over 300 million acres, argue that glyphosate is a once-in-a-century herbicide given its effectiveness at controlling a wide array of damaging weeds, affordability, and overall low toxicity. That's a look at your Daybreak Ag Report. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, Mark in Huntley last night, he must have seen the story on our Montana Talks website. I think he used about every acronym in the book. I think he used about every word that you might be able to say on the radio or TV without actually saying a bad word here. Yesterday, I got a whole bunch of fresh content on our Montana Talks website. Let's see, what were some of the ones? Yeah, that I posted alone. Montana Warriors dominate as best warriors at regional event. Cool story about a couple of Montana National Guard soldiers dominating the best warrior competition. You can check out that story. And if you missed it yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour, we had a Democrat, Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown, join us on the show and talk about why they are standing in the way of an agreement with ICE, with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We got a ton of great messages and phone calls after that show. The line that really stood out to a lot of people was when the commissioner said that Gallatin County is, quote, as safe as it's ever been. A lot of people, certainly raised some eyebrows on that one. But another story that I shared, this one came in, let's see, I had the information earlier in the morning, but I wanted to get the photos on our website and everything. A massive grizzly spotted near Yankee Jim Canyon, and it was really close to the BLM campground the Carbella one. And so anyway, but we've now got some more photos of that grizz that we were able to add to the story as well. But yesterday at some point on the show, somebody brought up, hey, we need a DOGE for Montana. We need a DOGE for Montana to look at state government spending, to look at local city and county government spending as well. And I thought it was interesting because Sally, I think she's in Sunburst, if I remember right. She says, I have a Montana DOGE suggestion. I lived in Bozeman from 1971 to 1982. I knew two individuals personally who were fully employed to monitor the grizzly population back then. Who knows what fully funded, taxpayer-funded careers exist now, 50 years later, to watch over the now very plentiful grizzly. Perpetual funding. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. It was like, how many people are getting paid to monitor these predators out on the lands, and because we have too many of them, right? Versus look at the way we have elected officials in Gallatin County, Montana, undermining efforts to not just monitor the predators living in our communities in places like Bozeman and Gallatin County, but are actively shielding those predators from federal law enforcement. I don't know, kind of interesting. But that message from Sally came in before I shared those grizzly from Mark in Huntley. So another story that I shared on our Montana Talks website yesterday, I actually got an email from one of our listeners in Billings. Joan in Billings sent me an email, and she said, I was switching news channels at 2 p.m. today, and lo and behold, Nicole Wallace introduced John Tester as MSNBC's new contributor. Color me shocked, said no one ever. That was from Joan in Billings. But yeah, thanks to Joan in Billings for the tip. John Tester just got his new gig. They just announced his new gig. John Tester is, of course, the failed Senate candidate for the Democrats, former Democrat Senator John Tester, who was, you know, in lockstep with Joe Biden for that last 4 years of just a train wreck that happened to this country. I mean, look at inflation alone. You figure the average Montana family lost $20,000 as a result of the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation. And then there's John Tester on MSNBC yesterday, just hoping things get bad, hoping that people feel the pain so that they don't vote for Trump and the Republicans. That fake, phony moderate. Remember how many years the left-wing media would cover for John Tester? Oh, the moderate from the dirt farmer from Big Sandy. I thought he was supposed to be back on the dirt farm in Big Sandy. Has anybody in Big Sandy even seen the guy since his massive election loss back in November? But yet, John Tester's got a new gig, flip-flop, flat top, runs to the far left media that provided him cover for so many years. The fake phony moderate is now a contributor for MS-13 NBC. They're no longer just MSNBC. They're MS-13 NBC because of the way they constantly flack for these MS-13 gangbanger thugs that they want to keep in America. Mark and Huntley last night, he says, who gives a, let's just say, Adam Schiff, what the swamp rat tester does? Wow. A spot on the failed MSNBC. And then Mark says, BFD, both are losers. That was from Mark in Huntley last night. The fake phony moderate one runs to the most wacko left-wing news outlet. Well, one of the most wacko left-wing news outlets in the country. But by the way, I saw some of the local TV stations. They keep doing stories about how Tester has this podcast with a left-wing journalist. And it's like, geez, are the numbers that bad for their little podcast that the left-wing TV stations here in Montana have to keep constantly promoting it to try to get people to subscribe to the failing podcast? I mean, my goodness. Yeah, do another puff piece on Tester. That obviously worked last year for you. My goodness. All right, lots to talk about here this morning on this show. Let's see, Charlie Kirk. We'll save that for the 7 o'clock hour.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. Hey, one good news story, another good news story coming out of Helena. You know, it's easy to focus on what was frustrating about the Montana legislative session. One of the frustrating things is, of course, this topic of Medicaid expansion. Now, Medicaid expansion already passed over a decade ago, and as frustrating as that was, this time they were basically just reauthorizing it. So I wasn't surprised to see it reauthorized. It's much harder to do away with a program than it is to block something from being expanded in the first place. But this seems to be like a really good news here. So Representative Bill Mercer out of Billings, a former U.S. attorney back in the day, also worked at the Justice Department in senior levels as well. But he had a bill, I believe it's House Bill 687. And I see the Lee newspapers, Billings Gazette, has a story this morning. I wasn't able to pull it up. I can't access the article this morning. But I went to Grok for a summary, and so I asked Grok, I said, hey, give me the details on the bill that Governor Gianforte signed, which increased the age for the work requirement on Medicaid expansion. And so, of course, Grok then pulled up a whole bunch of sources, posts on X from journalists, different news reports on this as well. And so, yeah, Governor Greg Gianforte signed House Bill 687 into law, increasing the age limit for Montana's Medicaid expansion work requirements, also referred to as community engagement requirements. Who were we talking with about this topic? Was it Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery out of Billings? I think I brought this topic up with Speaker Lear. I think I brought it up with President Regeer as well. That look, okay, Medicaid expansion, that cake was already baked as the session kicked off. We saw that very early on. That's why the Montana Hospital Association had gotten so involved in Republican primaries, is because they wanted their Medicaid expansion program to continue. Even though the federal government constantly rips off hospitals and nursing homes and pays them, you know, undercuts them on their reimbursement rates for, you know, it's this drug that these hospitals still want more of that Medicaid money. They still want more people on the government dollar. And then you have to pay more for everything because of all these other people getting stuff, you know, for free. So you pay taxes to pay for other people to get stuff that you then have to pay more in order to get for yourself. So that's what happens here. But the point that I was making was like, okay, if the cake's already baked, Medicaid expansion is going to go through anyway. Well, aren't there some reforms? Aren't there some sideboards that could be put on this thing? And this was one idea where it's like, okay, hey, look, if you are a working age adult and you are an able-bodied citizen, we're not talking about people who, you know, have a disability or people who, you know, have a challenge that prevents them from being able to work. We're talking about able-bodied working age adults. Well, if you're going to get this stuff, you should have a work requirement here, right? The rest of us got to go to work to pay for all this stuff. And so why do we got to go to work to pay for all this stuff? And then why do we got to go to work to pay for all of your stuff too, right? And so anyway, so yeah, this bill would do just that. It ages or it increases the eligibility and it increases the work requirement, I believe, from 55 to 62 now. And so anyway, that's just a common sense reform. So good job by the Republicans in the legislature and the governor now for signing that into law, because that's just common sense. If you are an able-bodied working age adult, you should do that very thing, right? You shouldn't be sitting on the couch while the rest of us get up every single day at oh dark freaking 30 and the whatever to pay your bills when we're trying to pay our own bills here as well. The American people are the most compassionate people on the face of the planet. And so we have compassion for people who, you know, who aren't able to work and have, you know, these extraordinary life circumstances. We're the most – look at what we do to feed the rest of the world. Look at what we do, you know, in charitable donations freely of our own free will. And you want to take advantage of that? So this is just a common sense reform here. All right, let's see. What was I going to get to next? We got to talk about Gallatin County some more. Here's another, oh, brother, here we go type of story. Where did I put it here? Okay, this was from KRTV. KRTV has this headline. Several cases dismissed due to police bingo game in Bozeman. So here we go again. Who was leading the charge to block this agreement between Gallatin County and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement? Who was leading the charge to provide cover fire for the criminal illegal aliens that have been filling up Bozeman and the Gallatin Valley? The Democrat Gallatin County attorney. Now, when she ran for office and when she first took office, she was pretending to be the tough-on-crime county attorney. But now we're seeing very clearly that this Gallatin County attorney is a far left, left-wing activist, a soft on crime, far left-wing activist. Another one of these Soros-style prosecutors that goes hard on you but goes easy on the criminals. This whole bingo game here is one of the stupidest stories that's been reported in Bozeman. In Montana. Now, John Jackson, the Joker, and I, he's a retired federal law enforcement. You know, I'm a military veteran. Look, if you're a nurse, if you're an EMT, if you're a firefighter, if you're somebody who sees bad things overseas in the military and in a combat role, infantry, you name it, you've been in the fight, how do you get through all the garbage that you see on a day-to-day basis? You get through it with dark humor. And that's all this was. It didn't affect any of these cases. Nobody was targeted. But yet this far-left Gallatin County attorney, the same one who's providing cover fire for these criminal illegal aliens, now just dismissed a whole bunch of felony cases, including drug-related offenses and also a partner family member assault charge. So this far-left Gallatin County attorney used this non-story, this non-scandal, as her excuse to let a whole bunch of criminals off the hook. You could even beat up, you could even beat up a partner, family member, assault. It could have been a guy who beat up his wife. It could have been a, somebody who abused their kids. And this far-left Gallatin County attorney, the same one who was blocking this agreement with ICE and intimidated the Gallatin County commissioners, because that's clearly what happened here. These Gallatin County commissioners, they may be a bunch of Democrats, but they're smarter than this. They know that what they're doing by blocking this agreement with ICE is stupid. They know that it's not, they're not serving their community. But yet they were afraid. They were afraid to stand up to the far left activist base in the Democrat Party. The inmates are running the asylum in the Democrat Party. It's not just David Hogue at the national level. It's this Gallatin County attorney. It's Zoe Zephyr in the legislature. And so you've got these Gallatin County commissioners who, you know, at least two of them were, you know, they weren't doing their jobs anyway, because how many years now has crime and illegal immigration been a problem in Bozeman and Gallatin County? For how many years now have we all known that the Mexican drug cartels and Tren de Aragua are targeting Bozeman and Big Sky in Gallatin County? And yet they didn't even think once to place a phone call to immigration and customs enforcement and say, hey, what can we do here? Help us with this problem. No, because they didn't see it as a problem. They saw it as more potential Democrat voters to flood the valley so they could stay in office and they could keep raising their own pay every year. But yet even they know that this is a stupid position to take. It is stupid to stand in the way of ICE. It is stupid to not stand up for your community in the face of this crime. But they're too afraid to stand up to their far-left base that got all ginned up and whipped up into a frenzy by the far-left Soros-style Gallatin County attorney who whipped up the local Democrats into a frenzy. And even still, how many emails and phone calls did they actually get from this AstroTurf? And they cowered and they caved. Too afraid to stand up to their own far-left base. And now the Gallatin County attorney came up with an excuse to dismiss a whole bunch of felony cases because she's soft on crime.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
An illegal alien who allegedly tried to rape a four-year-old girl in Virginia was cleared for release by a prosecutor in a Democratic-run Fairfax County. ISIS swooped in to take custody of this illegal accused of trying to kidnap and rape a four-year-old after Fairfax County prosecutors dropped the case against this individual, a Honduran immigrant being held by ICE at Caroline Detention Center, Caroline County. According to court documents, a man broke into the home of where this four-year-old and her mother were asleep in separate beds in a room. The mother woke to see the window blinds rustling and heard the girl yelling, and from the living room, the girl said a big man grabbed her from her bed and tried to carry her out, but apparently abandoned the plans when she started screaming.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Attention retirement savers. J.P. Morgan predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to Forbes, 2025 recession risks just increased significantly. And Ray Dalio warns of a more serious global breakdown. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to the award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to find out how you can help diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Help protect what you've worked so hard for before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
With partial sun and some cloudiness today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-50s in Bozeman to the upper 60s in Billings, as we'll also see some scattered showers and a few thundershowers around the region. For tonight, looking at showers likely, along with a few thunderstorms, overnight lows from 40 in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This week across central Montana, the United States Air Force is hosting town hall meetings starting in Lewistown, then Fairfield and Great Falls. They're talking about the Sentinel project, the missile upgrade taking place with all these nuclear missile silos here in Montana. You can find the full story, the details, the schedule at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, check out our Montana Talks podcast. Very interesting conversation with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Check it out on the Montana Talks podcast. If
you're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, Buck and Bozeman, stand by if you can, or if we run out of time, we can start the 7 o'clock hour with your phone call. Definitely want to hear what you have to say about the illegal alien crime situation in Bozeman, especially after our interview with one of the Gallatin County commissioners yesterday. First, we've got Jim Thompson on the phone lines here. Have you guys heard of Carry the Load? I actually just had some friends in Bozeman talking about this program. I think it's headquartered down in Dallas, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Started in 2011 as a grassroots effort by two veteran U.S. Navy SEALs, now growing into a nationwide movement with people honoring and remembering our nation's heroes throughout the year, especially as we head into Memorial Day here in Montana. Jim, thanks for calling in and tell us about your efforts. I know you've been taking part in this program for several years now.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. So I've been with I'm with the Courage Foundation, and we partner with Carry the Load, and we've been having this relay come through the area the last about 4 years. This year we're doing a rally. We're doing the same thing. We're going to start in Laurel at the firehouse there, and we're going to walk up to the National Cemetery in Laurel. And then we'll have a little presentation from the fine people over there. And then we'll get to kind of look around the cemetery there and get to remember a lot of our heroes. So.
And when is this going to take place? And how can people sign up and team up with you? Of course, Jim Thompson is a great fitness trainer in the Billings area.
Yeah, we're going to do it Tuesday, May 20th. We'll meet at the firehouse at noon. And it's not a super long walk. It's under 2 miles. And then you can sign up. I think I'll give you guys a link. You can sign up for Team Courage. That helps the Courage Foundation. So the Courage Foundation works. We mitigate post-traumatic stress through fostering post-traumatic growth. And then that teams up real well with Carry the Load's mission. It's just, we're all about trying to help our veterans in Montana. So, and around the country, but we really want to focus on Montana veterans.
And talk about what it's like to actually take part in this Carry the Load event that you're going to be doing, whether you got a ruck on your back or if you're a member of the Bad Back Club and you just got a lighter pack on your back. What's it like taking part in that walk, taking part in that event for you?
It's awesome. You can print out a bib and write the name of somebody that you know, maybe a family member or just somebody that you know gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we really want to remember them on this Memorial Day. So we just talk stories with the people that are walking next to you. You can carry you can wear a weight vest, you can wear a ruck, load it up however heavy you want or light you want, or you can just wear the bib. Of course, we like people to bring a flag, just to sort of, as we parade through, just let everybody know, and people will kind of stop and ask what we're doing, and we get to talk about it. So it's a great opportunity to remember our heroes.
Very cool. Well, thanks for what you're doing. So would they go to the carrytheload.org website and then sign up under Team Courage? Is that the best way to get involved?
Yeah, that's awesome. If you just sign up for under Team Courage and, carrytheload.org, and, it's pretty painless, and we really appreciate it.
Very cool. All right. Well, Jim Thompson, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you this morning. All right. We got to hit our hard break here and then get to the Fox News update here at the top of the hour. Yeah, Buck and Bozeman, I want to hear your thoughts on this this whole situation with Gallatin County standing in the way of ICE when it comes to the criminal illegal aliens in the valley. So, Buck, if you can, either stay on the phone lines or call back here in just a few minutes. We'll kick off the 7 o'clock hour with you and your call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will AI, artificial intelligence, affect economic growth? It already has. Billions are being spent on developing the tools, building the computing capacity, and in planning and building the infrastructure to support it. That money is coming from investors who see its potential disrupt and ultimately dominate industries and activities across the economy. If that sounds like hype, that's because it is. But in some parts of the economy, it's also reality. Writing computer code, for example, has been improved enough by AI today that we can expect a much faster expansion of digitization across the economy starting right now. But for physical processes, progress is slower. Self-driving cars are a case in point. The idea of computer learning is basic to AI, and so fed tons of data on driving situations and driving outcomes, machines should be able to drive better than humans in short order. Yet that goal has been surprisingly difficult and expensive to achieve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.